Well, thank you to Miriam, our orchestra, and members of our choir, and Mark for sharing that powerful music today. Well, will America survive? You want to find Psalm 33, verse 12, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Dr. Amy Black is a political science professor at Wheaton College in Illinois. She received her PhD in political science from MIT. One thing that she does is study the correlation between people's commitment to politics and religion. And here's what she has found after a nationwide study. She revealed this in 2019. More American Christians would renounce their faith in Jesus Christ than would renounce their allegiance to their Democratic or Republican parties. That tells us that in America, God is subservient to politics, which means we're in big trouble. So I want us to begin today by looking at our foundation, or the history God has blessed, and look at Psalm 33, verse 12. You've memorized this before. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Our founding, contrary to what liberal media is telling you, took place in Philadelphia in 1776. The United States was born. And I believe with all my heart this year in 2021, America needs to be born again. Woodrow Wilson said this, "Our civilization cannot survive materially unless it is redeemed spiritually." He said the hope, the dream that is America has to be passed down by one generation to the next generation. I'm afraid America is like Israel of old. We have forgotten God. America today is rolling in luxury. We have excess. We have pleasure. We have drunkenness and people wallowing in sin. America's history is unique among all other nations in the world. This statement is very, very unpopular in a generation which hears so much about so-called global community that will break down all political barriers and make us not Americans, but citizens of the world. When you hear politicians talking about globalism, what they're talking about is Satan's plot to bring all nations together under one world government and under one world church. There's something very unique about the conception of our nation. The uniqueness is in the foundational principles of our great country. Now listen to me carefully. I don't mean to be abrasive. All I'm going to do today is just tell you the truth. There's so many Christians today that say that Christians do not need to be involved in politics. Churches do not need to be involved in politics. Listen, Christian men, our founding fathers, were the ones that drew up the original documents and established this nation. You cannot take God out of government. And if God is going to be in government, you and I have got to take a stand. In the summer of 1776, the Second Continental Congress was meeting in Philadelphia at the State House, later called Independence Hall. On June 7th, Richard Henry Lee of Virginia stood and read his resolution, resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. So the die was cast. And on June 11th, 1776, A committee was formed with express committee duty of drafting a document that would sever ties of the colonies with Great Britain. Then on July the 1st, Congress reconvened, and the following day, the Lee Resolution for Independence was adopted by 12 of the 13 colonies. Immediately, Congress began to consider the declaration drawn up by the committee. Then late in the afternoon on July 4th, 1776, the document known as the Declaration of Independence was officially adopted, and the church bells rang throughout Philadelphia. Listen to these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Listen to the concluding words. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and sacred honor. 56 American heroes signed this, for which most of them paid for their signature with their lives. Freedom always comes with the price of blood. Our nation had its beginnings based on Christian principles. The founders of America were overwhelmingly Christian. Of the 55 colonial delegates to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, 52 were members of Christian churches. George Washington, the father of our country, said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Today we have revisionists who would say that Washington was not a Christian. Washington was led to Christ during the Revolutionary War by a Baptist preacher and was baptized by immersion. Patrick Henry said this, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for this reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship in this place." James Madison said, "We have staked the future of all the political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." You look at the preamble of the Constitution, states that each person is endowed by the state? No. Endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson began the practice of appropriating money for missionaries to the Indians, a practice that continued through part of the 19th century. During the time of Jefferson, Bibles, listen to this, Bibles were placed in public schools by money that was provided by Congress. As you walk up the steps to the Supreme Court, you will see a row of statues with various lawgivers. In the middle, there's a statue of Moses that is holding up the Ten Commandments. I wonder how long it'll take before Black Lives Matter and Antifa will go and tear up those statues and not be prosecuted. And I want you to know that the Bible verses etched in stone all over federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. Every session of Congress begins with a devotion and prayer led by a chaplain who has been paid for that position since 1777. The first Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Jay, said, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers." On the aluminum cap on top of the Washington Monument are two words, Laus Deo. And those words mean praise be to God. From the top of the monument, you can see 69 square miles. And I want you to know that Washington, D.C. is laid out in the form of a cross. You've got the White House to the north. You've got the Jefferson Monument to the south. And to the east, you've got the Capitol and the Lincoln Memorial to the west. In the cornerstone of the Washington Monument is the Bible. The walls of the Capitol Dome have these words. the New Testament according to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the rotunda of the Capitol is the figure of the crucified cross, a Latin phrase translated, God has smiled on our undertaking. And also you'll find the great seal of the United States. Micah 6:8 is on the walls of the Library of Congress. The greatness of the founding of America is recorded in the ink of her involvement with God. From the Pilgrims to Jonathan Edwards, to the revivals of the 1700s and 1800s, the Puritans were called prudes, but we're a blessed nation because we're founded by people who sought a land where we could freely worship the true and living God. The Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate this week, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were founded on a biblical worldview. The Declaration of Independence correctly states, our liberty comes from the laws of nature and nature's God. America, listen, was born a Christian nation. American was started so that we could freely exemplify our commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the fall that has begun, we've got liberals in our nation, in the White House, in Senate, in Congress, governors, our state legislatures, all the way down to our mayors and people on boards of education who have begun what is known as a plan of Marxism to turn our nation toward socialism. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not up here today promoting to you a conspiracy theory. This is absolute fact. I want to suggest a book for you. If you've got your hands on your little smartphone, you may want to go ahead and order it. This is by Erwin Lutzer. We will not be silenced. We will not be silenced. Erwin Lutzer. And today I'm not going to be plagiarizing, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a footnote that I'm going to use some of his material and research in this message to share with you exactly what's going on. First of all, I want you to see here the takeover of public education. That began in the 1960s. I was a product of busing. Busing will go down, as Paul Harvey said, as one of the biggest mistakes we made in education. In the school I was bused to another area, Delane as well, we didn't have textbooks for 6 weeks. We had riot police, and we had plainclothes police officers having to break up fights between blacks and whites. It was sad. I had black friends, but I'd never seen anything like this in my life, and my education prepared me exactly zero for my college education during those 2 years. I want you to notice what's happened over the last 20 years. Our schools have been told, you're going to teach your children tolerance. We're going to teach your children why this child has two daddies, and one calls himself a daddy and one calls himself a mama. And then we're going to have restrooms in our schools where one day you can declare I'm a female and go to the female restroom, and the next day I'm a female, I'm going to declare myself a male and I'm going to go to a male restroom. I was in political science classes that were very, very liberal. I was in history classes that were very, very liberal. And back in those days, I wasn't even saved, but I recognized that something was wrong with what was happening. And today we have the self-appointed social justice warriors who are committed to inflaming racial division. Look at the new laws forcing Christian colleges to compromise their biblical stance about marriage and surrender to the LGBTQ agenda. I had a lady the other day, Delaney and I were visiting with, and she said, in my college class on sex education, we were given a choice. We could write, listen, it was a state-run school. We could either watch a porn movie in class, or we could be excused from that if we would write a paper on sex. That's what's going on with your government-owned and operated schools. Revisionists are changing the history books. And the idea is to rewrite the past so these liberals can control our future. The New York Times has completed what you have seen as the 1619 Project. They claim that is when the first slaves were brought to America in Jamestown. They have made a case that America was not founded in 1776, but was founded in 1619. That's when the plantations were established and capitalism began. According to the New York Times, these two evils show that our democracy's founding ideals were false when they were written. In other words, the authors of the Declaration of Independence, here's what they said: all men created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that our founding fathers didn't believe what they were writing. The people behind the 1619 Project know all too well that you cannot get the American people to compare themselves to another country and divide. America is so far superior to other nations. So what has happened is we've got a group like the New York Times that are saying that we're a nation that was founded by people who didn't know what they were doing and on the backs of slavery. Now, this is slavery's wrong, but I want you to know that we abolished that over 150 years ago. We can't help what our forefathers did. I'm not responsible for that, and you're not responsible for that. We've made so many strides with racial progress, and we're not finished. But what has happened is the radicals in our nation know if they can keep us pitted against each other and our eye off the ball, we're going to lose our democracy and wind up as socialists. At the risk of being accused of repetition, let me say again that we should not gloss over the vices, the scandals, and the crimes that have dotted Americans' early history. But the dark periods of history are not the whole story of America. The next thing I want you to write down is the destruction of monuments. I can understand why some Confederate monuments may be offensive to a certain group of people. I can understand why when Saddam Hussein was killed, that the people went to their town square and tore down his monument. But I want to share with you that we have laws in this nation, and that protects our historical monuments. You know, there's some monuments in our nation that I don't like. There's some street names that I don't like. But I don't have the right to go tear it down or demolish it without any fear of punishment. But I want you to know the removal of these monuments goes a little bit further than what you might think. What people are trying to do is destroy our history. It's an attempt to remove not just racism, but to discredit all else that was done by those who created our nation's founding documents and established the foundational principles that led to making America what it is. In the minds of many people, a miracle is so terrible that it cannot be fixed, so it must be destroyed, and it must be rebuilt on Marxist principles. And the liars and the liberals are saying this will cure racism, it will eliminate capitalism, which they claim makes the rich richer and the poor poorer. They ignore the fact that capitalism has given countless people the opportunity to create their own success to the extent that those who live in America enjoy a higher standard of living. I love the story of Truett Cathy. Mom She was raising them. She was running a boarding house. He came from absolute nothing. I heard him before he died give his testimony and said, we were so poor, my brother and I didn't have any toys. Said we played out in the yard and said we usually played with a tooth and it usually belonged to my brother. And I want you to know you can go back to Ben Carson and some others who came out of abject poverty. Had they lived in a socialist, Marxist society, the opportunity to move up educationally and economically would have been absolutely impossible. And then the liberals today want to take over our economy. Capitalism is seen as the enemy. Well, what is socialism? Socialism is statism. That means we'll be ruled by a dictator instead of a president. And what happens is the government takes ownership of your businesses. They take ownership of your production. They take ownership, listen to me carefully, of your private property. And they redistribute everything that you have. And they also govern how much money you can make. The government determines what is enough. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic has fueled the notion the government has an endless pit of money that we can just give to people and bail them out. You go by McDonald's, you go by Chick-fil-A, you go by the steakhouses and the other restaurants. And I talk to business owners, and over, here's what we're hearing. We can't even get applicants to work. Why not? Because there's money being sent out under the table to pay people to stay home and not work. Now, here's what happens with that. If you have a child and that baby is about 3 months old and you start feeding them M&Ms, what's going to happen? They're going to like M&Ms. And you know what? They're going to want free M&Ms every day. And they get hooked on M&Ms, and you as a parent, you're a bottomless pit. So what we're doing is getting people hooked on socialism rather than working. So the next time we vote, they're going to vote for the people that are going to give them the most. This nation was based and founded on the Christian work ethic. If you don't work, you don't eat. That's not being hostile. Those are words straight from God. Socialism, listen, it's going to eliminate private property. It's going to redistribute everything. And there's going to be a cap on what you can achieve. Capitalism is being assailed by many today in the United States and other countries. 35 years ago, Robert Nash described the attacks being leveled against capitalism, and here's what he said. Capitalism is blamed for every evil in contemporary society, including its greed, materialism, selfishness, the prevalence of fraudulent behavior, the debasements of society's taste, the pollution of the environment, the alienation and despair with society, and vast disparities of wealth. Even racism and sexism are treated as the effects of capitalism. Capitalism is now promoted as the root of sexism, xenophobia, white supremacy. So come so far as to say that America's capitalistic system has been a detriment to the whole world. Other worlds have been reduced to poverty because of the capitalism of the United States. You believe all that? You put it on TV long enough and people listen to it, they believe it. The destruction of the traditional family. Ladies, we're getting out late. If you got somewhere to go, you need to leave now. The destruction of the traditional family. Listen, here's Marx's belief is this. Bible-based, Judeo-Christian model of the family suppresses the society. You see, what the Marxist idea is years ago, people lived in villages. They experienced free and open sex. No monogamous relationships, so the children belonged to the community. Frederick Engels, who along with Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, he said that the monogamous nuclear family emerged only with capitalism and Christianity. Prior to capitalism, tribal societies were classless, children and property were community-owned, and people enjoyed sexual freedom. Marxists claim that the restrictions limiting sexual intimacy of man and woman relationship within the marriage covenant were invented by religion to maintain dominance of men in society. The Marxists especially want women in the workplace, and here's why. You have to drop off your children at state-run daycare. At state-run daycare, they're taught that the Bible is a lie. Creation never happened. It's all about evolution. They will teach your children the errors of creationism, the errors of the church, and the Bible. Children can also be indoctrinated by the evils of capitalism and the benefits of socialism and economic equality. For this to become a reality, the education of children has to be taken out of the hands of the parents and surrendered to the schools only. Government assurances are designed to create dependency on the state that is essential for Marxism to thrive. And then they want to change the Constitution. And here's how that's done. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in January of 2020, Harvard Law Review published an article entitled Pack the Union, a proposal to admit the new states for the purpose of amending the Constitution to ensure equal representation. Now listen to me carefully, I'm not going to read that article to you, but here is what leadership wants to do in our nation right now, the ones who have the majority. They want to add states so that there will be more senators and more people in Congress. But here's the plan. They want to take Washington, D.C., and in the the last election that we had, you will see that all the subdivisions in Washington, D.C. voted Democratic. So the idea is to make each one of those subdivisions and development in Washington, D.C. a state. That will add 127 more states. Did you hear what I said? 127, you look it up. 127 more states. So what do you get? Two senators per state. And then how many congresspeople do you get? All of these people voted liberal in the last election. So then they go in and they make amendments to the Constitution and destroy your Bill of Rights, your Second Amendment rights, and turn this into a socialistic country. Another thing you want to write down, use diversity to divide and destroy. Vilify everybody that does not agree with you. Keep races upset with one another. Call white people white supremacists. Teach critical race theory in your public schools and tell your kids that if you were born white, genetically, you are a racist. Ladies and gentlemen, you read this Bible. I heard James Merritt say this at the Southern Baptist Convention. He said, I've been reading through this Bible since I was a little boy, and said, there's not but one race, and it's called the human race, and we're all sinners in need of the Savior, and once we get saved, that'll transform America. The liberals have joined with radical Islam to destroy America. These are the words on a sign carried by a Muslim demonstrator near Detroit, Michigan. Use our freedoms to destroy our freedoms. Why would two ideologies, one radically secular and one radically and oppressively religious, find common ground? I'm going to tell you why. Because the secularists and the Muslims want to destroy the church and Judeo-Christian values. Now those make strange bedfellows, because when the mission's accomplished, those Muslims are going to kill those secularists. And see, that's what they want to do. They want to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ from the face of the earth in America. The secularists do not want God mentioned in society And then you got the Muslims wanting their religion ruling supreme. Number 8, don't enforce our laws and vilify the police. You know why all these riots took place and then people are lining up at these Gucci bag stores and everywhere and knocking out the glass and going in and the police are told to stand down? That's reparation. That's what it's done in the name of. If you and I go break out the glass to a store today, what's going to happen to us? We're going to be arrested. Listen, the other thing, vilify our police. I don't know about you, I love our police officers. I do everything I can. I got our church. Here's what we did. We fed the Floyd County Police, the Sheriff's Department, and also Rome City Police and the firefighters that cover this end of the county because we appreciate them. Pray for them. But here's why you want to vilify the police and not back them and make them look like the criminal and not the criminals, the criminal. You want enough police to retire and to quit till suddenly you have no local police, you have no state police, and here's what happens. Federal police officers will be sent into our states and our localities. And if your constitution has been turned over and all we've got now is a dictatorship, what do you think is going to happen to us when federal police are ruling our communities? They're going to carry out the will of the dictator and destroy all of your freedoms. The liberals want to destroy our borders. Why do they want to do that? This is part of the globalist philosophy. We should be one nation worldwide. So take down the borders, let non-citizens come in illegally, then the taxpayer, you and me, and by the way, 50% of Americans don't pay any taxes. I don't know many of those 50% of Americans. I know the ones who do. And what they want to do is try to change the red states to blue states. That's why they're distributing all these people. And we're putting people up. They're illegal in nice five-star hotels. And then they're going to come to the point, not only they're just going to naturalize these people, they're going to let illegal aliens, illegal, against the law, people in our nation, and let them vote. Black population is only 15% of our nation. What's happening now with the Hispanics being allowed in and the criminals and the thugs that we've got, that percentage is going down. Soon, white is going to be made the minority race in America. Then you want to control voting on a federal level. Your local votes, your national votes. What do you see wrong with that? That was a procedural matter that went before the Senate, and 50-50, the procedural matter was voted down. That's been put on hold. Control the media and propaganda. Control the media. You think the media will lie to you? Since the 1st of January, CNN, their ratings are down 75%. You figured out why? But America will believe a lie before they will believe the truth. Control the media. What people of faith must do, let's move quickly. Can we do anything? Do you remember a place called Nineveh? They were all lost, and God did what? He saved them. Children of Israel walked away from God so many times, God rescued them. He has the ability to turn America around. However, we may not see that in our lifetime. We've been complacent far too long. I feel sorry for your children and your grandchildren. They're going to pay a price for our complacency. American Christians are afraid of the left. We're silent because we live in fear. So many churches are wanting to be welcoming and love and grace. And what happened is they've replaced culture, the Christ, and the Bible with culture And now they're ordaining people that are involved in alternative lifestyle as their pastors and their deacons. You see, we're afraid. We're afraid that if we follow Bible-based principles, we're going to be called bigots. We're going to be called legalists. Well, consider the source. A fool has said in their heart, there is no God. They're fools calling you that name. So you're going to let that bother you. First thing we need to do is pray. You know, I feel like Jehoshaphat. Man, he's there, the children of Israel, three or four armies coming against him. They didn't have a chance. And here's what he said over in 2 Chronicles 20:12. He said, we are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Christians, we better get our eyes on God. The sovereign God who knows all things and all plans has prepared us for this moment. We need to say with Jehoshaphat, God, our eyes are on you. God says, if my people who are called by my name, the church is the body of Christ. Vance Havner said there's a striking parallel between the condition of the country and the church. As the Constitution means little to Americans today, so too the Bible means little to the average church member. Most people are illiterate when it comes to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and equally illiterate as a Christian of what the Word of God has to say. And most of them don't care. American spirit is sadly eroded by distrust and corruption in high places, by moral decay. And it won't be corrected by beating drums and waving flags and eating Boston butts. That's not going to get it done. And then pride. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God resists the proud. We need to humble ourselves. Means we need to recognize our dependence on God. Confess we've sinned against God. Pride means living your life for self without regard to what God would have you to be. If we don't humble ourselves, God's going to do it for us. The verse says, if God's people humble themselves and seek God's face, he'll hear from heaven. Our greatest weapon against ungodliness is prayer. Too often we seek the hand of God. That's what God can give us. Instead of the face of God, His holiness and His will and how we need to obey God. And then the promise God answers. I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe America can have a bright future, but it's going to take God's healing hand to make the future bright. Our land's in need of healing. We've got racial strife. Isn't that sad? I was getting my car washed the other day, and when I did, I had a few little Chick-fil-A cards that were expiring, so I'm cheap. I went to the self-service. But those girls that were doing full-service car wash, they were sweating. They were white. They were black. I said, shoot, I'm going to go over here and give them some of Truett Cathy's money. So I went over there and handed them out cards. They were so excited. All of them thanked me. When I went back to my vehicle and I got in, this big black gentleman with a hat on and a T-shirt, he walked over. He said, hey, I want to talk to you. I thought, wow, I don't know if I'm going to get out of this with a Chick-fil-A card or not. I don't know what I did. And he said, hey, man, I'm wanting to buy my wife a car. Can I look at yours? I said, sure you can. And so he took pictures of it. We talked 15 or 20 minutes. I gave him a Chick-fil-A card. Just treat everybody equally, you understand? And his name was Mike. And he said, where can I get one of these? And I said, well, I got a friend over in Augusta. And I said, here's my card, and here's the owner's direct number. I said, you know, if you want to test drive this thing, why don't we just, I'll ride with you. as you test drive him, I don't know this guy from anywhere. But you know what? He's one of the nicest men I've met in a long time. He didn't test drive it, but when he left, he shook out his hand. He said, man, it's just been a pleasure to meet you today. Don't meet people with preconceived ideas. What did I tell you? We're not black. We're not white. We're not Hispanic. We're human beings. God's, listen, and we're all in need of the same Savior. But I want you to know this solution has got to start in your house and in God's house for America to be changed. And the last thing I want to share with you is participate in the political process. Liberals organize and stick together. Conservatives fight and we cave. We've got to vote and do what we can to protect the integrity of our elections. George Orwell wrote some essays years ago. You may have read some of them. In one of those essays, he said, I was eating one day and I had some jam on my plate and a wasp landed on the jam. He said, I picked up my knife and cut him in half. Well, I'd have discarded the jam and the wasp, but he just cut it in half. But he said, I began to observe that wasp and said, do you know after I cut him in half, he continued to feast on the jam. And through his little severed esophagus, jam was coming out the other end. Now I'm out of there by now. I'm just gone, okay? He can have it. And he said, but I watched what happened. He said, as he continued to eat the jam and the little stream would come out the other end. He said he got shocked. He decided to fly away. And his wings were gone. Well, we have our jobs. We still have a president. We have the Senate. We have the Congress. We have our state, all the way down to our boards of education, our mayors, and all that kind of stuff. You know what? We can still stand and preach the gospel. But let me tell you what's happening. The underbelly of our nation is being eaten away. Like Orwell's wasp, we might not recognize the condition until we wake up and our wings have been severed. The America we thought we knew is no more. And the churches have accepted the changes without a whimper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a firestorm for our future. And it's time we got our heads out of the sand, because a lot of Christians will say, oh, this too is going to pass. This is not going to pass. This is the real deal. It's time we ran toward the fire. It's time that on our knees and with humble hearts, we prepare ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit with the sword, the Word of God. And I've shared this with you today, not to be ugly, not to be abrasive, but to inspire and encourage you to get involved. God has allowed this cultural movement to be brought to our feet for such a time as this. Our future cannot be taken for granted. And remember this, in a time of universal deception, truth will prevail. But it's got to be proclaimed. The question is, will America survive? It's up to you and me. And God having his hand on this nation once again. to bring revival. Let's pray together. Just sit right where you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Things that we're facing are very, very difficult. And it's become who shouts the loudest is the one who gets their way and tries to scare everybody else off. We know that you've ordained us in your word to obey the laws of the land and be good Christians, but sometimes we'll have to rise up and maybe even be some civil disobedience if it takes it. But we realize the basic problem in all of this is spiritual. We have failed to get the gospel out to people. And the atheists are content if we just stay in the four walls of our churches and keep quiet. Remember people like John the Baptist. Remember people like the Apostle Paul. Paul was excited about being beheaded. Because he knew absent from the body was present with the Lord. Where is that courage in Christianity today? We are marked by ease, comfort, and pleasure. So, Lord, I pray today that beginning with this small group of people, that you would begin an evangelical, evangelistic revival as we just on our knees or in our seats today. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me to make a difference in our America. Help us to not waste the sacrifice that's been paid by our founding fathers, all the way to those who have men and women who've shed their blood on foreign soil to protect our democracy and theirs. Help it not be in vain. So today, here's the invitation. If you're here today and never trusted Jesus as Savior, you're not sure how to do that, I'm going to ask Billy and I'm going to ask Warren on the other end to be standing there. If you're not sure how to trust Christ as Savior, we'll be glad to tell you. Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the price for your salvation and mine. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. It's a free gift. Would you trust him today if you don't know him? Maybe you're here today and you've already trusted him. Me to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. This morning I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe you are in our community and you've been our guest for quite some time. You've prayed about it. God wants you to put your spiritual gifts to work in this little place in Silver Creek that affects local, national, international lives. I'm going to ask you to come. And then I'm going to ask you today, if you'd pray for our nation, you can come to the front and kneel here at the altar. You can pray while you're seated in your chairs. But ladies and gentlemen, if America's going to survive, it's going to have to start in little congregations like this one in Silver Creek. Mark's going to be singing, Miriam's going to be playing, and I want you to make public, private decision, prayer on your knees, prayer in your seat, person next to you will excuse you as you go by them. They may want to come down with you. I know the hour is late, but God's ready to do business with us. Is your lunch more important than the life of this nation and the lives of lost people? So he's singing now. You come as God speaks to your heart.